No, not dirty.
You say it's dirty, you should leave it.
Oh, well, I got that too.
Oh my God, it's raw.
No,
yeah. Is it smoke?
Yeah, it's smoke. Just taste this. It's fine. If you don't like it, you don't even know how you will put it in a napkin. See, this is a learning experience for you.
It's fine.
It tastes like, they call them beer sticks, so it's made out of beer.
So it's a beer stick?
Yeah, beer sticks. Instead of beer, you know, they call them beer sticks. So they mix things with it, beer and different things to make it. They're like snack things. Well, she lived through it, John. Are you going to taste one?
Yeah.
This one here is one you buy in the store. It's called grease.
Good stuff.
You watch me, great girl.
Yeah, and why is it all the grease?
Here is that one little piece of
it. Yeah.
You gotta have some fat in it just to make it stick together in for what? That's the difference. I mean, this is real healthy food. This is real good for you because there's not a lot of fat and grease in the crap.
Yeah.
Is your own secret recipe?
No,
but it's how they make it.
No, they have it made
at the butcher shop. At the butcher shop. And the weird thing is, Renee, if you go to the butcher shop, you could buy these other beef ones less than what they make them for this.
Do you like jerky?
Yeah.
Oh, my friend, I was with yesterday, gave me some jerky. Now, this one here is a little different. He tried a new recipe, and I'm not real sure that I like it real well. But here again, if you don't like it, just,
yeah, you always pay more to get anything done than...
Yeah. He soaked this in a brine type thing. I'm just going to take a little bit of that. But he had onion stuff on it. Might be kind of soft. Do you want to taste a little piece?
I'll taste the piece.
It's not like the kind I really care as much for, but it's all right.
Hey, real jerky should taste like leather.
This has got to start with leather. I mean, it's okay. It's just different, you know, it's not like...
People don't eat it because it tastes nice. People eat it because it stores well and keeps you alive.
Yeah,
if you don't want it, you can put it in the napkin.
I think
I'll start off. Yeah, it's got a different taste. It's not like the jerky I'm used to. But that also is made out of beer. You can't taste no venison, but I don't like what he soaked it in or what he...
I think there's...
He gave me
a little sugar in there. That's quite sweet.
Yeah,
very sweet. Drinking sugar is sweet.
Yeah. He insisted that I take it. Just take a lot of them. It's something new, and I got them. He didn't like it too well either. That's why he wanted me to.
Is that the list of that?
No, it's the guy that was. But I don't know what you're hunting with. Yeah, it's different. I would never have any made like that, but I'll eat a few pieces probably and throw the rest away for guys. Like, I'm not real crazy about it.
Yeah, but it's good for them to go, because then you just chew some of the stuff and you breathe, and then you think you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, I like more of the dirty, like, some of it's real hot. I like that spicy hot one, that's good.
One thing I don't know if it's considered 5 years since I've been here, the price of jerky has gone way up.
Oh man, it's crazy. About $20. It almost has been high.
Well, in the old days, you could only find it. Now it's like every aisle of the shop comes out with grocery stores everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's like different kinds of juice from and everything, too.
They have it like at the checkout. And now they have all this come on.
Yeah, they have candy.
Yeah.
People find this instead of
candy.
You don't want last call for sure.
Overpriced too, that's what they want to
see. Yeah. Last call.
This is all I require.
It's all right, but I just assume.
I was needing something to eat, I wouldn't just mind that over a candy bar.
Well, I'd be better than not
having something. The candy bar.
Of course, you wish.
You can vibe on that candy bar.
That's true.
I had a trip and I was in the middle of survival. I guess we can't even think that.
Well, I had two nice people with the airline, so.
But that
record
could,
didn't
you think that was good?
Yeah.
And there again, that deer meat that I don't like, no kind of venison.
Yeah, well, but
they don't know until they taste it, you know.
That's right, I couldn't pick it up. And I know that real venison
James, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't even want him to kill a buck or bring home any buck. Because to me...
Well, a young buck is all right, I know.
Well,
a spike buck or a four point, some those are all right because they're young. They're always got, you know, better meat.
Yeah.
But... So I usually try to get a bull, and most guys go on trying to shoot a big buck, I try and shoot a bull. It's kind of better eating. So get the sport of going hunting and stuff, but you know, after you shoot it and bring it home, then you got to eat it the rest of the year, so I'd rather eat something that tastes good all year than a big old swamp buck. But what's good is like, most time I'll shoot two deer and then I usually give the buck away and I should keep a doe for myself. That was nice when you take a couple of deer and I can shoot myself a doe and keep hunting for a nice buck and I shoot the buck. I got friends who would love to have it, and people who don't hunt, they gladly take it. And that's what I did last year. I gave half a deer to one guy and half to another. And I just kept the bear.
Would say you kind of lengthwise or what happened?
Usually you give some, during this time you send me, you give them one. The most of the meat on a deer is on the two hind quarters. You got two nice big hind quarters, and you got two real nice, they call them back straps. It's the loin that goes down the back, big chunk of meat on that. Real good. They cut steaks out of it. So you got two strips down the back and two hind quarters. You know, so the deer is hanging in the garage. I butcher my own. And, the hind quarter and those two back straps are the best meat. The front quarters are really only good for making, because it's tough meat. It's good for sausage like this or hamburger or something like that, because then you grind it up and it's... But if you want to make steaks or roasts, you want to make it out of a hind quarter, you know, nice big lumps. That's a nice, good, tender meat. And the steaks is nice, take them out of that back straps.
So what else besides deer?
Well, I don't eat bear. A lot of guys around here hunt bear, but I don't care to eat it, so I don't, you know, I won't eat it, so I don't hunt it. I don't shoot anything unless I'm going to eat it. Same with the fish, you know. I like to go fishing because I like to eat them once in a while, you know. But just if I just have to catch them and... A lot of guys are into that catch and release, just catch them and throw them back, but that's fine. But I like to go out fishing, catch 10 fish and maybe keep 2 or 3, have the fun of catching the other ones, but at least come in with something, you know. Just makes it worth your while. I clean them up and freeze when we have company that says people, you know, eat with them. Because people who don't get fish really enjoy it. You know, like for people who get it every day who fish a lot, but fish ain't no big deal, but... Like her sister, I like to take fish down to her sister and her mom because they both like to fish, and her aunt in San Antonio likes fish roll, so I'll take fish down there, make a big fish fry for them. Then we get to Texas, I fish a lot there, and a lot of the old people that stay in the condo, they don't really fish, so we have a great, we got a clubhouse and we all had a big fish fry down there, and I give a lot of fish away during the winter. Then we had a fish fry before I was getting ready to leave to get rid of all the excess. And we had like 50 people there, and everybody picked out on fish. Of course, they all took home a big platter full of fillets for warm on up, you know. They're not as good warming up, but they're still, if you don't get much fish, it tastes, you know, good. And those fish are good eating down there too. They're real good. Saltwater fish are good. They're a little different than these, you know. They're saltwater fish is more thicker fillets, and you got to prepare them a little bit different. But it's a good time to fish there.
Hey, coffee gun. Does anybody want a dish of vanilla ice cream?
Not me.
I would, but I won't. The last couple weeks or month, I've put on a little extra, too much weight. I gotta go face Gail next week.
You do? Well, you don't look at all heavy.
I lost 10 pounds when I was in Arizona.
What
I
was
down there.
What
and then we went to Minnesota and visit where everybody wants to be, and then I eat more.
Do you think the people up here eat more than they do down south?
Well, I don't know. I only really ate at Joyce's with Joyce.
Oh.
You know, so I could control it. It was just me and her most of the time. And I could control what I ate because she doesn't like cooking. She's hard for her to cook. So she doesn't, she's a little person. She don't eat a lot.
Yeah.
So when I come up here, it's all big turkeys everywhere.
Big people. Big people. Big
turkeys.
Were
you like working, like painting, and
cleaning
and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true compared to hers. I'm up here, I'm doing mostly family tree stuff, so I'm just lifting, dropping, writing notes, scanning photographs, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More. I went out for a hike in Minnesota anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Arizona, I was hiking mountains. You know, it was good weather. I like hiking, but up here, just going to walk with my father.
How high are the mountains in Arizona? How many feet?
About 7,000 would be the tallest one. That's just a little outcrop. My flagstone. They actually have skiing there. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, that's not too bad. 5,000 feet or 7,000 feet. I went to Colorado last year, man. I couldn't even breathe.
We didn't go through it. We were up to 14,000 feet.
Yeah. Did you get out and try and walk anywhere?
Yeah.
Did you have trouble walking?
No.
I couldn't catch my breath good.
Did good.
Yeah, but I was having trouble breathing.
Well, it was hard for me to breathe in Colorado.
But see, I had just spent 3 months in Arizona. Joyce doesn't live on the desert. Joyce lives in a mountain, but Joyce was a mile high. She's just as high as Denver.
Yeah.
So I spent 2-3 months breathing that air.
Yeah. And you know, while I was in Denver, I had no problems. I didn't have any problem in Denver at 5,000.
An angel, she wants
them. But then we went to Bale.
Okay. Yeah, now.
We went to Bale.
Yeah, I would be laying there in bed, and I'd be laying there also. Now, like, I want to yawn or get more air.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's wrong with me.
Do you remember I was yawning the whole pipe up? That's what I do when I'm about to do my yawn.
Yeah. That would ask you for more.
I said, yeah. A real sugar thing here.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, the mountains are beautiful, but I just didn't like the Europe, like that era very well.
Did you,
this is that man here.
That's just no. Did you want,
No.
No, just to
look for a half an hour for a change was. I haven't been across a half an hour since I've been here.
Oh.
And I remember, you said it makes
sense. Makes sense. You don't need too much of it.
Mom used to whisper, awful lot. I grew up
for
a
long time.
Slider?
Okay. Oh. Look at how many Oreo. I got Oreo.
I have all the Oreo plate. It goes first, so that's why I love Oreos. Did you want chocolate syrup for your ice cream?
This is what? This is her first year living in the States, or it's her first year going through the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
So, we went over to the place this last time, just a couple of weeks ago. She's got the Christmas tree set up with all decorations on it. She can hardly wait for that. The first time last year, and she loved it so much, she can hardly wait for it this year. She set it back up. She's not even Halloween. What about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
She's got a big plastic jack-o'-lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And she's filled it up with candy.
Mm-hmm.
My brother asked because he was secure
out
of the building and nobody did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've been there for 6 years, so I was never once going to have a food
camp.
She's so excited, she's got to do all American things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he's got to have to get it.
And does she speak pretty good English?
Yeah. We understand her.
Open.
No, it's more like a lack of confidence, so she'll either take up too fast or she may too slow. But I think she's good. I can understand on the phone, and that's always a good test.
Because then they don't have to look at you and have you feel like she don't know how to speak. That's why people stutter sometimes. On the phone, like Peter,
mm-hmm.
he talks real good. This guy stutters because he's had a stroke. And when he's on the phone, he talks almost perfect. I think because you're not looking at him.
He's back.
And it's like Mel Phillips,
mm-hmm.
the singer,
mm-hmm.
he stutters.
Yeah.
He sings real well and everything. He's got confidence in that, but I think when he talks, maybe he's a little bit self-conscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him out there down in Wesley?
Mm-hmm.
We actually got there because I wanted to see Pam Tillis.
Yeah.
But she didn't show up today of all times. We called for tickets to get
her. Yeah.
That's good, I guess, to see Pam Tillis. Get down there and said, well, we're sorry that Pam wasn't in town this week. Just put me down to us.
She's in a plane circling Denver.
Yeah.
They actually have different music, you know, it's not all just country western, which is nice.
Oh,
we always do a 50, back to the 50, back to the at the hop or back to the 50 type music. Then they have one that's called Chino, and his is like the piano, all the like Gershwin type, you know, music, and then with a big fancy costumes of women. It's like a Broadway production. He said it was like total Broadway. And then, of course, you know, the typical country western. And some are like what you call more down home country western, then some are the more like the rock type, or more like Neil Diamond. We saw the Neil Diamond thing last time.
So the flyers are in all that stuff.
Yeah.
So the flyers are just going to anywhere. You know who the flyers are? I'm so good. I'm not practice because...
I'm not. Yeah, that's
not good. See, that's my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be no friends that live in Chaska.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to the story. So, while Peter doesn't have any relatives coming or visiting at this stage of the campaign, her friends do have regular family visits coming back to work for the trophies.
Mm.
So, whenever she needs something from back home that she can't find in the States, they go to the cast, they give us some money, whoever's lying over is the money, whoever buys back, we get the product back, and we get the girl. So this last time, the father gave $700, they came back with 60 karaoke CDs and two microphones. Because that would see the alarm. That's all the alarm would help to just carry your piece of shit in the microphone. No, it's just, it's
around
the iron block. I was making sure it's everything, yeah. It's work. So that's why next time we go over here, we have to carry your piece with them. I knew that the Japanese thing, the rest was invented.
Also, that is a robot.
Now it's an Asian thing. They just like to be carried up.
So
if you don't get
their taste and practice with them, and then.
Yeah.
Here that karaoke replaced a lot of the live bands.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, kind of like the DJ, too. They do a lot of DJ.
Well, there's usually a DJ there to handle the karaoke.
Yeah.
Because he'll play the music and then the song.
And then at some point in time,
the people
play.
Think.
Oh, it's time for the karaoke. Where who wants to come out? I always request the song Tequila. There's only one word in that. Tequila. No, I like La Bamba. I've done La Bamba at a lot of karaoke places. That's my
favorite.
So if I ever go, yeah. You have this?
Yeah. So you're going to promise when you get to our base in the students.
No, I I'll maybe do it for your sister in law.
Okay. We probably lose that for point.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
actually can see.
How did your parents then feel about your son marrying a girl from the Philippines? Girl from the Philippines, did they?
My mother,
under that circumstance.
We don't know, because there would be anything she says. But my father, he's a completely honest, feather-bedded person.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't mean bad by it. That's just the way he is. He's totally naive that way. He just says what he thinks. And he's so worried for Chris, and I feel the same way, because in New Zealand, I know plenty of his kind of thing happens, especially older things like that. They want to just come over for the money, and then they get married, and they get the country, and then they need the guy.
Yeah.
Or they think the guy, maybe we're going to know this, and he's going to now support 44 people in this house.
Mm-hmm.
My father knows about that, too. Mm-hmm. So he's worried that's what's going to happen. Me and I'm like positive guys, give it a chance.
Yeah.
I don't like to be negative upset. My father is negative all the way through, because he's so worried Chris is going to end up losing money or something, and he's becoming heartbroken when she leaves and all that.
Well, if he's got a little bit of money or assets, she can become titled to him.
No, pretty
much. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, that was real smart.
He went down to Hong Kong when he left the theater, and then when he decided it was a doable thing, he gave it to pretty much the side.
Well, that was real smart. And if she really loves him and wants to be put down, they'll stay together. Yeah. And it ain't going to be more material.
You can also bring up the way they go.
Yeah. Or, yeah, throw them away or just something happened.
I mean, the mom will probably go to this child anyway. So
yeah, now that they're having a child. Yeah,
that's what they're doing. But they're all age entitled to all pension and everything.
Yeah.
Once you're married, I think you got married for a while, and she tried to do it right away, you could maybe.
I don't think that's it. You know, if it's a breakup, it'll just be one of these things that happens naturally. It wasn't like pre-starting on any party's part. It actually was not.
Yeah, they had to do it.
You
know? He's jealous of the woman.
And he doesn't know that also, unless he's with her. You know, the reading back book, it's sickening.
We do the same thing. We go out and play together, but not that because we're in love. It's convenient. Don't write it down, John. Sit down. Your father writes everything down. This morning I told him.
What tomorrow?
Just this morning I told him. Why is it I always have to ask you if you love me? I said, it used to be you always told me, now every day
I know.
Yeah, he does.
And my fault.
Unless he falls asleep before he goes to wake him up. Sometimes, you know, he'll fall asleep, and like in the midnight, I'll just gradually turn over, and he'll wake up and he'll go, oh, boy, I love you. You know, and I don't know if he thinks he's just like falling asleep, 3 hours later, he's telling you this, but no. It is totally different when you're first married than when you've been married 26 years, 30 for you guys. Yeah. Well, it's
there though, probably. So the end of how I bought it is my stepbrother, well, they got married at the Mall of America. The Chapel of Love.
Really? Were they on Channel 5? Yeah, or Channel 4?
We're going to have a real wedding in the Philippines, the Catholic Church wedding in the Philippines. Just so, get it over here so she can get in the country, get her married so she can stay here and sister. But they plan, by electing the child, to go down and have a proper Catholic wedding. This is just the non-denominational type thing. We'll see where the paperwork for government passports and all kind of stuff. So then they had this reception at the Chinese buffet or something in Bloomington. And my son was going around with the camera there and they said, say something to Chris and Celia, and all said, but you know, it was, and my father was up. they got thoughtful. So my father looks up and he says, well, my son is 49 years old. He don't want to decide what he wants to do. So it's sort of like, he really doesn't think that he's
going
to do it. My son goes up and decides what he wants to do. But my father didn't mean it that way. See, that's the thing. He's just being honest. And he's actually trying to be funny. Because we got married on my brother's birthday.
My
son is 49 years old today. He's only up 10.
Looked down upon or anything when he goes back to the Philippines, gets his big humongous Catholic wedding, which I assume it sort of is, because many people are like that. And here she already has a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't think, get married already.
Marrying a kind of, even in the Philippines, that ain't my first true love, because of the fact there's a lot of older white men that come in and get the back to friends with that guy, what are you doing?
And so when I'm afraid of what's up, because the guy comes over there and stuff.
Because I don't have that.
To be blunt, what happens is they either give them to be slaves to do all the women's work around the house, and they can't go out and do anything because they just, now that I got you here, you're a slave. Now that we're married, you do what I tell you. Or a sex slave. The guy just needs to have a cheap way of getting his sexual pleasures performed.
Huh. So it's never the third thing is never that the woman wants a green card?
They actually get the third one, they don't have a reason that they actually love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to stay married.
The last thing they do,
the family, have the family reason, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will help it when you've got that kind of combustion going on in the bedroom.
Yeah. Like our friend in Grand Rapids, besides Peter and Mary Cole, where he hunts, the other close friends to them and us, because we all stayed in Rockport at the same place the whole winter, he married her in Japan, so she was Japanese, and then she went like maybe a year or two after their marriage, she was so homesick, and she has a mom and a couple of sisters and a brother in Japan.
So he was stationed there in
English, and she still was very hard to understand. Her English is very good.
I think that's a little bit more better arrangement.
But no, what I was going to say, though, is when they went to Japan this past year, what did her sisters ask her? Does Donald step out? Doesn't Donald ever step out on you?
And she says, "No, Donald, don't step off."
Well, they're not doing that because it's Japan.
They step off.
They're not going to do it to do that.
That's right.
And Donald never has. I mean, they're very Catholic. I mean, they live like right around the corner from the
house,
and he's a pastor. And they are very Catholic.
They're very involved years, you know, and they're still very
Catholic. You know?
But I think their arrangement, the fact that he was young and in the service, and he met her at working at the PX, and he kind of fell in love with her, she probably was a pretty
but
nice area. And they.
Yeah, and she saw her at
them, and she would see him. And then he was in this, like in Japan for like 2 years or something.
Yeah.
So he got to know her quite well. So I think his arrangement was.
Other than her family,
was a little more that was your brother who was got
to get married because it meant he was going to bring her here and they'd never see her the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
That's a very understandable. Like, she wants to get some friends and trust and I can get over and see her once in a while. So she can talk her language, yeah. Like that stuff. And that's why we do end up bringing the family over, because we're just so damn lonely.
Yeah.
She really doesn't have any friends.
She wants to get out and live.
It's crystal clear, because she's going to have a baby, she can't work. You know, this sort of, she has to, as soon as I have the baby, I'm going to let all the Chris go and stay on there for the kids. I'm going to go out and work.
Yeah.
But here she has to
tell but he should really though let her. I mean, it might make her marriage a lot more unhappy if she can be happy.
Yeah.
It's like I met the sister. She's always worked a lot all her life, and then all of a sudden she gets married, and she was working, then pretty soon she gets pregnant. She has another, now she's got two kids. But she's not happy, and she needs to work. She needs to get out. Those kids love her, drive her crazy, and she likes to come home to the kids. But she really needs to have a job because she's just a busy person, you know. And I think this lady, if she doesn't get to work, your brother says, "Well, no, I think that would be kind of cool on his part if that's what makes her happy."
He should have really, taken care of the kid. You know, then now he's become one of those slaves.
And
exactly.
She's already questioned Susan's unfortunately.
Yeah,
I heard a lot.
I questioned Susan's empowerment about the relationship. Thing that I tried to bring up with him, but she asked for. Well, was he at least honest with her and saying that he wanted to marry, let's say, a younger woman to have a child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's, like I told you earlier, how he was a drug addict and all that stuff. He didn't know that before the wedding. It's now come out. In fact, the one that he worked with so closely, they lived together for 20 years, he didn't tell her that before the
wedding.
Hyperactive or smaller than normal, but that even happens even if you're smoking. You know, when the baby is born smaller than normal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That would be my only thing to her is she didn't
realize there's any problem at all. She doesn't know exactly when she would be fully over it because it was never brought up.
So
and now she's pregnant and bringing a baby into this environment and just finding out that her husband had this drug and alcohol problem and it just
delayed. If she does bother that, they should tell me after we leave. But this is what I'm saying about my folks now. They're afraid because I say when he has this illness, they think something completely different, they think the worst possible thing, they think she's going to go crazy and go slide over the backs or something and say something ridiculous. Well, that's what she was telling me about she's living with a drug addict. We can't explain to her. That was seen 10 years ago. He's good now. He's straight.
But she should see that though. She's a grown up adult person. She should have.
That's it. She's there alone. She got
no one. You're in a foreign country. Yeah, you're a foreigner.
Yeah.
She doesn't have her family or friends. You know,
I'd be more afraid of him working next to her.
Oh my God, with this one like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi, Mary Ann.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
not.
So you heard about that.
Yeah.
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 My relationship is strictly business.
Well, this is Marianne. She connected with another fellow.
Everybody asks me that. I don't know, because it's none of my business, so I didn't ask. If someone wants to tell me something, I'll
look at it. Yeah, right. No, I just, we need, yes.
Delia's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a little more.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's got, oh, she's got
work. And we're not ready, but it's like Chris is teaching with her. You know, they teach each other, like they're still, you know, more than just a professional. Chris and Mary Ann.
No, they yell at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And they swear at each other.
Oh, swearing at, like, even one Catholic girl. She's swearing at her. She swears something she didn't know about, but she swears. And he said, well, that's we just haven't fun talking to each other. We don't need anything.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden she's got a husband that swears.
The same thing. He could never find
her.
Guatemala or Costa Rica or somewhere. Same thing. Lonely, doesn't matter. So pretty soon, she says he'll be married over there and have 2 daughters. So pretty soon, 1 daughter. So then Ray has to go and get her going with all the paperwork and everything. Okay, then the girl gets a job. They all work on Carmen, yeah. At the wedding reception, I was the only one she could talk to because all she spoke was Spanish. How her and Boyd communicated, I have no idea.
That was real strange.
Very strange. And so she would call me. This is when we lived in Shoreview. And then she started like doing what, you know, what Cecilia was about. You know, because like, well, why would I do this? Why did he write me? And go now, and then worse was after the second daughter came over, then Lloyd was complaining about the money going too much to the daughters. And she, and of course, she's going to side with her own flesh and blood. And, you know, and this and that. And so one day, I just point blank said, well, would you rather be living here or back in, might have been Guatemala? And she said, well, no, here, because where we live. She said, there were several times we had to dodge the bullets. I said, what was it? She said, from the gorilla. She said, I had to literally pick up my 2 little girls and just run to the mountains, to the cave.
Stop complaining.
Well, that's kind of what I, you know, wanted to tell her, because Lloyd was very good. I mean, he didn't run around. He didn't, you know, but it was that he just did not want her bringing over more and more relatives. But again, you know,
and she ended up getting a job. Her daughters were working, so I'm sure now she speaks English.
Well, she's like all of the country buffets and all of the buffets in the city, the Ponderosa, it's all Spanish people. Out of all the Spanish people, you'll see one Spanish person that knows English.
Yeah.
That's the manager of the workers. And so then you see them come out of the kitchen, and the main manager will tell the one in English that speaks English, we need more lettuce, we need more salad, and then she'll turn around in Spanish and tell the workers. Okay, that's what her daughters were doing, working at these country buffets. And then eventually she got a job too at
Ponderosa.
Perkins. And then they start like dishwashers and stuff like that. But then if they acclimate themselves that way, then they're also picking up the English. Because she said, I do have the TV on a lot. And she had it like on soap opera or something, you know. But you know, I told her, I said, she, you know, or I said in Minneapolis, I know the that say the Americanas or something or other, that they do have ESL classes too. But then she couldn't drive and she didn't know if Lloyd would take her at night. You know, so I can't even imagine living like that. I mean, I just couldn't.
I had a night class.
I got her run on the garage or anything, so with that, I got a bench tool and I was doing, I don't take
old.
I got a bunch of parts.
I had a night class. And had this middle-aged Japanese woman come into the class. It's usually like 12 the most that I have in the class.
And computers.
Yeah, computer class. And first thing we do is I turn on a checkpoint and then how to use the mouse. So she had absolutely no idea. I go over and talk to her. she don't have no any of us. So then, my boss came in and I said, what, how's she doing this? She shouldn't be here. You're the boss. You would try to get on the bus. I didn't lose my temper with her, but I got short because I couldn't. It was really not the whole class. I spent all my time with her.
Yeah.
And of course, next to her couldn't help because that's what I do. They didn't know anything either.
Yeah.
So I actually said to her, maybe you shouldn't come to this class. It was so obvious. Maybe you shouldn't come to this class. Well, she understood me. So they
said, what language did she speak?
She was Filipino. So, then about, so I said this to my daughter, and she knows all about it, because that woman has a 13-year-old daughter in the school, just started at the school. And that girl's having all kinds of problems, and so everybody knows about that girl, and that's her mother. They've already had the mother in a couple times, because daughter can't help very much with the English either. And so she'll take care of it. And of course, we never came back. But then I found out from small town. then I found out a couple days later that she's married to some farmer. Some farmer married her, brought over and married her, and came with the kids. But she's got the kids with her. And he's scared to death that she's going to leave him. So, this was a winter night too. While she was in my room for 2 hours being taught, he was sitting in the car with the children, right in the parking lot next to the door to see if she came out. So she went pretending to the parking lot, but she did that, holding the kids hostage to make sure she'd come out of the classroom. He sat there for 2 hours in the car, because he wanted her to learn the computer so she could go get a job and make some money.
Oh, so there's the opposite end of the spectrum. Somebody that wants them to have a job.
Yeah. Because he won't want them making money.
Yeah.
So I felt really sorry for that. And I felt sorry right away because she shouldn't have been there. I don't know why that I got out a couple of years. It was her husband's idea that she should learn to school. Yeah. I said, well, learn English first, then come back. My attitude.
Wow. I don't know. I do not know. I'd forgotten about Lori, his cousin. It was so funny, my mother-in-law called and she said, I hope you say yes, but you've been invited to a wedding reception. And I said, well, who got married to Lori? That he married her in El Salvador or Guatemala. It was a Spanish country, but it wasn't Mexico. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, and the way that he met her at work, one of his co-workers had married a woman from there. And this lady was her cousin or her sister or her friend, and then they started, and so, because I said, well, how, I asked Carmen this at the reception, and said, well, how did you communicate with Lloyd if you don't know English? She said, well, she would write a letter to him, but send it to this lady that's married to the co-worker. And then this lady would translate it, give it to her husband, who would take it to work and give it to Lloyd. And then Lloyd would write it in English, so then he would sit down at night, write it out in Spanish, and mail it back to Carmen. It was unbelievable that all these channels, and who knows what was lost in the translation. So anyway, Lloyd just decided, well, I'm going to take a flight down there and everything. And it was really hard at that country. It was so hard. I mean, he had to go down there 3 or 4 times. He had to pay, drive under the table. He had to pay so much money to get her out of the country. It was pitiful. And then he had to spend all this money for each of the daughters. See, that's why he was complaining, because he didn't realize if she married Carmen what all this money would endure. Now, to make a point that it's different in Mexico, this is what my brother did wrong. We were all born in the United States, okay? My brother married a girl in Austin, Texas. So she's working at one of the computer factories where all the news was, you know, it's just next, you know. So they don't really verbally communicate with anybody. But, and he would take office furniture to rent in this big warehouse that she worked at. And that was his job. He just took off his furniture and rented it out of his company. Okay. Well, he meets her. They fall in love. they get married in Austin. Fine, everything was going good. My brother again says to her, now you don't have to work, you don't want to, if you want to stay home, you know, take it. Well, sure. She stayed home, she's washing, ironing, cooking, you know, everything. Then her mother gets sick 2 years ago in November in Mexico City. She goes over, and Sandy goes with her to Mexico City. The mother's sick all in November, December, she died. January 1st, the first day of the year, they're coming across the border, single. They said, wait a minute. You are a Mexican citizen. They said to her. And she said, well, I am, but I am married to him. And they said, well, let me see your marriage license. She said, well, first they said, you have a visa. And she said, yes. It was only a work visa. The work visa had not been stamped in the last quarter because she wasn't working by anybody. It hadn't been stamped at her work site. So then they said, well, no, you can't, you know, this is an invalid visa because you haven't been working. And so then they said, she said, well, I'm married to him. And they said, well, where's your marriage license? He had brought his marriage license, and he had everything for himself. He had his birth certificate and everything. When he brings out the marriage license, they said, you did something against the Mexican government law. And she said, what? And she said, anybody who is a Mexican citizen gets married first in Mexico. Then you do the paperwork or whatever. Then you can go to the United States and
get married.
Well, I have no idea. She tried to bribe and everything, and they right then and there, the next day, they had to stay in a motel. The next day, they faced the judge. The judge gave her, I believe, 2 years that she had to stay there. However, every 6 months they can go up in front of a board. Okay, so after about 6 months, they had to go all the way to El Paso from Mexico City. My brother stayed with him. I mean, what was he going to do? He goes back, they all go back.
They quit his job or whatever.
Now, well, at first he just had like a leave of absence. You know, because he kept saying, well, we're going to straighten it out. Well, they realized after about a month or two that they weren't going to straighten it out. So they bought, there you have to buy condos. You can't rent them. So they ended up looking at a condo, buying the condo, and, paying to buy it. And so then, he goes to the airport. And they immediately, all he does is go to the first counter. They said, you are hired. You are, you know English and you know Spanish. You know you work on computers, you know everything.
You could read.
It was only $250 a month. Okay. And so they said, well, thanks for helping. So then somebody said, well, go to the U.S. Embassy and ask them where you can apply to be an IRS agent because of all the Americans living in Mexico City. And you know,